Hello and welcome to another episode of OKC Over Easy on the Spy Podcast Network. I'm Mallory Kraft and I'm glad you're here.
Hello and welcome to another episode of OKC Over Easy. This episode is brought to you in part by Coop Ale Works. So thanks for sponsoring the show. My guest here is JV.
What's up?
And first of all, I have to apologize because when I sent you the message on Instagram, I was like, we've never met before. And then I thought back to you were on the Dates of Our Lives live show with What's us. That? Do you remember?
I thought you looked familiar, but I didn't know.
At Speakeasy. Do you remember?
Speakeasy. Okay. What is it?
Days you were on the stage and we looked at like every single person's like Twitter account.
Tinder.
Yeah, Tinder account. Yeah.
Dang, yeah.
Were you with
Ryan?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah. I remember now. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So I remember that. And then my friend.
I still get in trouble for that.
I mean, you were like the star of the show. And then my friend Tanya called me and I told her that I was interviewing you and she was like, oh, Sigma Kappa Coffee House. Do you remember that? Like years and years ago. So she was like, I remember he was impressed that your Twitter name was at Mallory. So I like went back and searched and saw that like we had tweeted each other in like 2011. So it's like we have met before.
Wow. What school is that?
UCO.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dang, I don't even
remember.
It
was years ago.
Wow, that's awesome.
So I have to apologize. I said we'd never met before. We have. So welcome to the show. Have you ever listened to OKC Over Easy before?
I didn't know about it until you hit me up.
Okay.
Until I started following y'all on Instagram.
Yeah. So I started OKC Over Easy a couple years ago, and then I just moved to the Spy this year. So basically, we're going to talk about food.
Wait, so you were in the Spy meeting that day with all the new shows?
Yeah.
So I saw you then, too.
Yeah.
Dang, okay, yeah.
So we actually got... Okay, not OKC Over Easy. Days of Our Lives got taken off the air at that point, and then... Then I was like, well, I've been doing this on the side. So do you want me to be on the podcast network? And Ferris was like, yeah, sure. So we were just going to talk about food. But first, there's two segments. We're going to do Eat of the Week. So that's like the first segment. So if there's some place that you've been eating that you really like, that you're like, this is my jam right now. Is there anything that comes to mind?
Yeah, a couple actually. Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. Go for it.
Right now, I always love healthy options. So, if a restaurant has a healthy option, that's great. And Chicken Beer has a salad.
Okay.
Like healthy option, and you just add the chicken to it. It's so good.
Really?
Yeah.
What's on the salad?
Man, everything. I have it on my Instagram. Let me see.
Okay.
It's bomb, yo.
I always like that, like. Rogue salad, upper crust. Have you ever been to upper crust?
I've been to upper crust. It's been a minute.
They have a really, really good salad there. And you like wouldn't think because it's a pizza place.
Yeah.
But.
Then Urban has a salad. And I get the duck and I just add the duck to it.
So Urban, they just added bowls, right?
Yeah.
Cause I've only been when they had the actual buns.
Yeah.
I need to go back and try
it. Let's see. Also, Scotty's on 23rd next to the Tower.
Okay.
They have a grilled cheese sandwich that I love. I can't remember what it is, but it doesn't come with meat on it. And then I add chicken to it.
Or okay.
I add turkey to it. Yeah.
Okay. I've only like sampled their stuff. I need to go in and get lunch there at some point.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
I'm excited for the biscuit place next door to open.
Yeah, because you kind of hang out on 23rd Street, right? Okay. So those are your...
So that's the Chicken Beer salad right there.
Okay. It looks like there's some limes on it and some maybe pico and then lettuce.
It's just like the lettuce, like just like a thing of lettuce.
Okay.
It's pretty dope. It's
okay.
Dope, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to try it next time. I love a salad. So, okay. So that's Eat of the Week. The next segment is Grocery Gab. So... Okay. This is basically just where we talk about grocery store news or your favorite place to go to the grocery store. So where do you normally shop?
Walmart?
Okay.
Yeah. It's the most convenient. It's the least expensive, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
You been doing like the grocery pickup?
What's that?
So this is what I did actually yesterday. So you go online. It's like grocery.walmart.com. You can do it on your phone. you fill out.
They have a kiosk for it?
Yeah, when you go in.
I did see that. Okay, tell me about it.
So you fill it out on your phone, say, so I planned all my meals for like next week, lunch and dinner, and then I put all of the ingredients in my cart, and then you just pay for it on your phone or on your computer, and then go drive up. They put all the groceries in your car, and then you leave. Yeah. It's very convenient.
Okay.
Because I live right close to Belle Isle Walmart, and going in there is a nightmare. Yeah. So I'm a Walmart shopper too, but I've been using that.
I'm going to try that.
Yeah, you should try it. Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. Okay, so you've never been on before. You're the first musician I've had on the show. Okay. And you're also the first Emmy Award winner.
Okay.
So kind of just tell, I guess, the listeners, you know, who you are, what you're about, anything you want to say, like about your career.
I mean, I've been doing music here in Oklahoma City probably over 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I started when I was in high school, and, you know, just been going hard since then.
Where'd you go to high school?
I went to Northwest Class, and I graduated from Northwest Class.
Okay.
And since then, you know, just been, I guess, continuously growing and trying to learn more and do more. And, I've put out 3 albums. I've put out some like EPs and mixtapes and stuff in between then, but, 3 albums. My first album came out in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Then I put out one in 2013, and my last one came out in 2016. And my next one will probably be like 2019, I think, just, looking at the meeting I had last week and, what all I have going for it is going to be tight. So,
okay.
I'm excited about it. So I've been doing music, touring, and, you know, running around trying to get stuff going here, mm-hmm. community wise and music wise and, you know, for other, you know, rappers and stuff out here to do stuff. And, what else?
I know you sent me an email about the Black History Month. Yeah. Stuff coming up. So if you want to promo that, or
yeah,
if you want
so
to talk about that.
So, yeah, so I'm partnered at the Tower.
Mm-hmm.
So for Black History Month there, we did, we're doing a movie series.
Mm-hmm.
We showed Boys in the Hood. We showed Crooklyn and The Last Dragon. And then tomorrow we'll do Shaft. We have 2 showings of Shaft on Sunday. And then we have Poetic Justice and Men's Society on the 16th and 26th. And then I'm the coordinator for a new auditorium on the east side called the Auditorium at the Douglas. And we have 3 Black History Months of three Black History Month events I've put on there. On the 14th, we have a documentary screening. It's a free, it'll be free. We're partnering with the Ralph Ellison Foundation, and we're showing Slavery by Another Name.
Okay.
And that'll be at 6 p.m. Or I'm sorry, 7 p.m. No, 6 p.m. I'm sorry, 6 p.m. And then the 17th, I have a concert called Foundation, and we'll have performers. I have LTZ, Tony Foster Jr., a bunch of people. I have some poets.
Awesome.
I have the executive director for the Black Lives Matter movement coming to speak.
Cool.
And a special presentation by Women in Motion. I'm sorry, Sisters in Motion.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the 22nd, we have a book signing. And the book is African-American Education in Oklahoma City. And the author is Anita Arnold. And she's going to come and talk about the book. And, you know, the book comes out the day before. So that'll be like the official release for it. And the book is pretty much centered around Douglas High School.
Okay.
And the building we're in is the original Douglas. So it just kind of makes sense to do it.
Is the auditorium.
Yeah.
Okay. So, that's cool. Yeah.
So, yeah. So that's what I'm doing.
You're busy.
Yeah,
and you also do a show on The Spy.
Yeah. We have a radio show on The Spy called Grand Union Radio. It comes on Saturday nights, 11 p.m. I just this Saturday we're doing Bad Boy versus Death Row.
Fun.
So, yeah, so I do that, and then, you know, I'm still touring and stuff like that, and teach at ACM.
Oh, cool.
What else? I'm doing some Black History talks at some private schools this month too. So
okay, awesome. Yeah. And people can follow you on all sorts of social media to get all that information.
Yes, ma'am.
Awesome. Okay, so let's talk about food.
Yeah.
Let's start from the beginning because this is one of my favorite topics. I don't get to ask everybody this, but I'd love to know what like you grew up eating, like what your childhood diet was, like what you remember eating as a kid that like influenced you now.
Okay, well, none of the food I grew up eating influenced me now. Because I eat out way more than we did when I was growing up. I mean, there were nights where, you know, we would ask, what's this? And my mom would say, it's ends meat. You know what I'm saying? Like, like seriously, you know, we would do stuff like syrup sandwiches. Mm-hmm. My mom would make a big pot of beans. Mm-hmm. We'd eat the beans for, you know, a week.
Yeah.
You know, we had to figure out different ways to make the beans cool each night.
Yeah.
So one night we might just have beans.
Yeah.
The next night we might have beans and, you know, something else one night. And then if there's beans left over, we'll get our bread, smash our bread and make tortillas out of the bread and turn it into a burrito. You know what I'm saying? Like, so yeah, there was that. You know, and then there was times where we, you know, we would be able to eat out and stuff like that. And my mom would always cook, you know, just, you know, random stuff, whatever she could find, and she would make it work, you know? Mm-hmm. And, so yeah, you know, chicken.
Did you have like a family tradition, I guess, maybe like you had a big meal on Sunday or you went out on Friday night or?
Nah, we didn't. But I mean, you know, the biggest things were always holidays, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas. But for our family, my great grandma's birthday is on 4th of July.
Awesome. Yeah.
So for our family, the 4th of July was really big always. And so we, you know, barbecue, smoke food, everything. Mm-hmm. You know, you had it all. You know, we'd also do a fish fry on Mother's Day.
Okay.
So fish fries, barbecues on 4th of July, and then, you know, Christmas and Thanksgiving, we had everything, you know, from turkey, macaroni cheese, you know, chitlins, everything.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay, cool. So you grew up with kind of that food view. Did you like to cook, like when you got on your own?
I did, but you know, my mom cooked and my dad cooked, and my younger sister, she can cook. Mm-hmm. So we learned how to cook. We had to, you know, because there will be times whenever, you know, especially because mom was a single mom, like she'd be at work and we had to make our own dinner and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, so we had to know how to cook. So I've been cooking since I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. So do you have a passion for cooking or you like to eat out more?
I like to cook. I cook sometimes. I just have to, I think it's not even more or less the cooking. Mm-hmm. It's the going out and buying the groceries that I don't like. So now that you said that, that Walmart thing, I might be cooking a lot more because the convenience of going out is not having to go. And like, it's like a two part thing. You got to go walk through the store, buy the food, then cook it. Like, I don't mind cooking. Like, I could throw on music and I'll cook. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We'll eat. I'll clean the kitchen and we'll be done.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like, okay, being in the store is going to take this long. And I got to cook it. You know what I'm saying? Like, So that's like the main thing that whenever it comes to cooking, what I always like, just like, I just go get something to eat, you know.
Okay.
But yeah, I love to cook.
That's awesome. Is there anything in particular that you are known for or you love to cook? Or
well, the past two Thanksgiving, I made macaroni and cheese.
Okay.
And
always
a
winner.
It was like five different cheeses.
Nice.
And like, two different types of macaroni.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, because growing up, macaroni and cheese is one of my favorite things to eat.
Uh-huh.
And so now that I can, you know, now that I'm learning about like cheese and all this stuff, like I'm like, shoot, I can cheese it up, you know.
So you like to make macaroni and cheese. What's the best macaroni and cheese in the city? Do you know? Or do you have a favorite?
Let me think. Where have I had macaroni and cheese in the city? I don't think I've even had any here.
I really like it, and this is like kind of random, but
I'll go try it.
I really like it at Iron Star.
Okay, see, I haven't even been there.
It's good. It's the long noodles that have the center out. I don't know what they're called. I should learn the types of pasta. And it's like a white cheese sauce. Dang, it's really creamy.
Okay.
So good. It's like my favorite side there.
Okay.
I haven't been in a while, but it's number one on my list.
I'm going to go try it. Because, I love macaroni and cheese. My mom always made really good macaroni and cheese. So I did that two years in a row for Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And now I like to do, I like cilantro, I like, ground turkey. Like, if I can make something using those two, then I,
all good. So you're a cilantro fan.
Yeah, I usually just do stuff with it that I can incorporate cilantro in it, you know.
Yeah.
But, I'm always like, I'll just get on Instagram and just put in like one thing I'm thinking of. Like, if it's spinach, I'll just put hashtag spinach and find things that people cook with spinach. You know what I'm saying?
So, Instagram's like a great, I save a ton of those food videos that like people make really fast. It's so handy just to like look on your phone and see it. So I kind of like researched how to film those. Because I was that would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
But I don't really know. Like, they film them from up top. So it's like you'd have to buy like a certain thing to hold your phone or your camera or whatever. Okay. So I'm not done researching it, but I think it would be cool to like try something like that.
Yeah, you should do something like that where you get like, say you said you like the Iron Star. We should have had Iron Star macaroni and cheese in here today.
Yeah, I know. Well, maybe they'll sponsor the next episode.
Yeah,
we can get you back on. So macaroni and cheese is like comfort food. Do you have like any other foods that you eat when you're like sick or low or cake?
Cake is like my crack.
Okay.
I love cake.
You make your cake or do you buy it somewhere?
I've never made a cake. No, I've never made a cake before.
Okay.
But I want to learn how to make cake. Because I mean, there are so many cakes. Like, man, like, I it's hard. Like, so usually I'll go out and buy a slice of cake or like a cake. But any place, if I'm any restaurant, they have cake, I got
it. You'll get it. Okay. My favorite cake is raspberries and cream. Have you had it? It's like Nicolette. It's Nicolette's raspberries and cream cake.
They have it here?
Yeah. And you can buy like the big cakes. I think they're like maybe $30. So sometimes people bring them to work or I'll have it at a birthday party or something like that. But it's white cake on the top, chocolate cake on the bottom. And then in the middle, it's like a custard with fresh strawberries. And then the outside is whipped cream.
Oh, my God.
It's so good.
Where do you buy it?
It's called Nicolette's Raspberries and Cream.
Nicolette's is a restaurant or a cake place here?
Yeah. Just Google it and you'll be able to find it. I am not a huge cake person. I don't like sweets a ton.
See, that's how Sailor is. She's not really like into sweets like that. So.
Yeah.
But
you need to try it. You got to try that cake.
My favorite cake here is the chocolate mousse at La Baguette.
Okay, yeah, I've had that.
Man, that's like good. That's my comfort food is that place. If there's ever any event I'm doing and I want to celebrate, I eat that.
You eat cake. Okay, awesome. So you're obviously into food. You just started an Instagram account called JB Likes Food.
It should have been JB Loves Food.
You can still change it.
Yeah, can I?
Yeah.
Okay, I might change it because people always, you should put love.
You can change it and all your followers will still be there. Yeah.
Okay.
So maybe by the time you listen to this episode, it'll be JV Loves Food.
Yeah.
So tell me kind of why you started. You started it last year in like December is what it looked like the last picture. So tell me why you started it and, you know, just to keep track or.
I started it because I was on tour.
Okay.
And every city we would just go to different places and eat and I would always put food on like my Instagram story or my Snapchat story, but I felt like, and I didn't want to just clutter my Instagram with, you know, food.
Yeah.
And so I was like, man, like I just need to do a food Instagram because I love food and I'm always eating. And then I have a friend, Andy Nguyen, who's in, he's from California. And his Instagram is so perfect. Like, and he always eats.
What's his Instagram? I'm going to look it up.
Let me see. I'll tell you real quick. His Instagram is so perfect. And he, he times his pictures and everything. And he's come here before and to eat.
When you see like a really good food Instagram, it's kind of like, it's just art, you know?
His is really, really good. And he just uses his phone too. Like, I feel like, and I want mine to look like I use my phone. So it's Andy the Nguyen. So A-N-D-Y-T-H-E-N-G.
Is this him?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, his is like, see, this is my favorite. This is like getting into like food Instagrams. But like, if you look at the colors.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's the colors. Yeah.
And it's everything kind of has like the same tone and vibe. And he uses maybe the same filters and the same style. Yeah. I think that's really like the cool. Lighting is perfect. I try to do that. Yeah. Oh man, I want to
like even now. Like I'm looking at it now, he has it patterned to where his food on the and then him in the middle. You see that?
Yeah. But, see that's some art. So go follow Andy the Nguyen.
But I'm working on something with him.
Okay,
here in Oklahoma City too. So.
Cool, awesome.
Yeah.
So you wanted to keep track of your food. What are your favorite? What are some of the favorite meals that you have had posted on the Instagram account that maybe aren't in Oklahoma City? So you said you were on tour.
So one of them I had in Dallas just last week was, it's called, let me.
What they have, because I wasn't able to make it to the brunch.
So my favorite thing was that they were like, we're going to give you this and this, and then Fabio is going to pick something out for you. And I'm like, no, he's not.
The
like,
way you said his name. The way you said his name is exactly his like persona.
I was like, he's not picking anything out for me. He doesn't know who I am. Like, because when she said that, I was like, oh, he's going to come over and ask us what we like to eat.
Yeah.
And like, Mike was like, I hope he picks out the filet or like whatever the most expensive thing. I was like, there's no way he's going to pick that out. So we got the cinnamon roll. We got the smoked in-house salmon, which I thought was fantastic. I would go back and get that. It came with this dough thing, and I am losing the name of it right now, but I will edit this and add in the name of it. It was like a fried dough pastry.
Okay.
And it came with some crispy capers, some pickled onions. Like everything was great in that dish. The salmon was phenomenal. I really liked it, but everything else I was like, meh. You know, the cinnamon roll looks good, but It's not
your cinnamon roll has to taste good.
It's
I'm
not
sorry.
As it good does. As the state fair. That's like what we were saying. So me and Mike were like, state fair is better.
I'll just wait once a year to eat my cinnamon roll. That's just the way it is.
And I wasn't a huge fan of the Bloody Mary. So all but the coffees were great. Like there were it was just like it was like not an overall fantastic experience.
Which I feel like can be said about a lot of the restaurants in Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. Just and we can talk about this more too, but with the growth of the industry, you can count on one hand about how many restaurants are doing things exceptionally all the time.
There was no like over the top.
No.
Like
it's like restaurants are doing five things well on their menu of 25.
Yeah.
And that's just unfortunate. And so it's like, if you have to go to a restaurant five times to find out what it is that you really like, I'm tired by the fifth time I've been there.
Today. Yeah. And I was talking about this. I can't remember who I was talking about this with yesterday. But it's like there are certain restaurants that are just, like you said, like exceptional. And they're doing everything right. Number one that I can think of is Jones Assembly. Mm. Like you just go in. You're going to have a great experience. You're going to have that like over the top food. You have your little frosé that they're known for. You know, I just think that it's a beautiful environment.
Oh, they did fantastic in their aesthetics.
That's like, just one that I think like I would like if someone was coming to Oklahoma City, I would want to take them there.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think also another thing that Jones is doing really well and what I feel like Oklahomans, or at least I'm craving, is something to do besides just eat.
Yes.
They're now pairing this great service and food and the ambiance with an activity, which is what I feel like people are like, there's nothing to do in Oklahoma. Like,
yes, there is.
There is, but you just have to search a little harder. So now these restaurants who are starting to change the way that they're approaching their food, like Jones. Mm-hmm. I also went to, I did some work for Banquet Cinema Pub, which is going to be opening up in here 2 weeks. I don't know if you've...
I did see maybe OKC Talk posted some pictures or
something. Yeah, there were a couple... They did a media night last night.
Yeah.
But it's now a movie theater with food and drinks.
Yeah.
Which it's like an elevated version of AMC. And obviously, it's a little bit more of a local aesthetic. But it's finally people realizing that we want something besides just eating.
Yeah.
We want an activity an experience, a memory besides just,
yeah.
Oh, I had a great cocktail.
And that's nice. I love that. And that's like the, I don't know if they're doing too hot, but like the flashback retro pub, yeah. You know, like,
I don't know either, but I loved it when yeah. I've been a couple times back when they first opened and yeah. sitting on a couch playing Super Nintendo while drinking a cocktail. Yeah. Like,
is awesome.
Was all of my childhood dreams right. like, coming to fruition.
Yeah. So. Well, I definitely agree with you with the expansion of so many restaurants. Like, we're always wanting something new and more. And I tweeted out as a joke. You know, you have to know, like, my Twitter is like me being the most sarcastic I can be. I was like, I'm bored. Because, you know, everyone.
People got so pissed.
This one guy was like upset. And so then I looked at his profile and he was like, Oklahoma City is the best city in the world. I'm like, honey.
We're working on it. Yeah, but
we're working on
it. But this is your bar.
It was so funny because people thought it was serious. I'm like, you have to know on my Twitter, I'm not being serious. Like, then today, let's talk about rest in peace, Chilino's closing.
I saw that.
Someone was like, well, I guess since the other restaurant is selling blow out the back of it, I was like, that's the tea on Yucatan tacos right there. Or wait, Abuelos too.
Are you serious?
There's two Mexican restaurants. There's three Mexican restaurants yeah. in Bricktown.
Well, also we have way too many Mexican restaurants just.
Yeah. In we have general. Made too many taco places.
Within 1 year, it was like five of them. Like everyone's like, let's do tacos.
Yeah. I haven't been to Oso yet, but I'm like, we had some of their stuff at the Coop. A party mm-hmm. and I was like, it's good, but like I'd rather go to the South Side and get something that's yes. made by Hispanic people of color, that like this is their living. Yeah. We're not like ripping it off of the, you know, yeah.
making it trendy. It is what it is.
It gets kind of dicey when you get into that, but like I'd rather support something more authentic. I don't know.
I totally agree with you. Yeah. And I feel like I've been to Oso a few times now, and it was one of those things where I had to try so many different things before I found what I liked.
Right, right.
When you go, get the uh-huh. Left Coast burrito.
Okay.
It's so good. It's
what's
got
in
like
it?
Skirt steak, tater tots, shrimp, queso, all the
shrimp
carbs.
And skirt yes. steak.
And okay. tater tots and queso. Okay. So, all right. The things you need in your life.
I'll try
but
it.
Yeah. But
I'll try it for sure.
And they have the, I feel like all their dishes that were really good weren't really like Hispanic. Like,
yeah.
Like, the tater tot appetizer was really good.
And that's just a mixture of like Oklahoma and
trying to be something.
Yeah. So yeah. you have the Oklahoma vibes on everything. And sure. then you have like the Oklahoma as fuck restaurant, the Press. Like, I feel like that's just like.
Which is like a B-team whiskey case, by the way, guys.
Shade.
They're good, it. Though. Yeah. I will say $3 mimosas, five for doubles.
Ooh,
so
okay.
I go in there just and drink the mimosas.
Yeah, I like the Press. I mean,
I do.
We've had a good time there, but yeah, it's like that is like some Oklahoma food.
And it is in every way possible because of the, you think about portion sizes.
Yes,
which is
huge.
What I was going to talk about for Osteria.
Yeah.
You will not go home hungry there.
Like at the press.
Yeah.
But for Osteria, you will because the portion sizes are little. Yeah.
And that was one of the things that I was a little bit disappointed in. And I'm very much in the progressive mindset of quantity doesn't necessarily mean quality.
Yeah.
But if you're going to charge the way that you charge, I got the raviolis. Okay, so I was going. Okay, so listen. I was,
tell me about it.
I was going through all the things that I tried at Osteria mm-hmm. when we went to the soft opening.
Mm-hmm.
75% of those things are no longer on the menu. So I feel like I didn't order well.
Weird.
At least they've maybe taken some.
Changed it.
A little bit. So I got the raviolis. I got, which there were like probably like 8 ravioli noodles.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one thing. It was like, I'm down for smaller portion sizes, but if you're going to serve something smaller, don't serve it in a ginormous bowl so I feel like I got skimped.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Make sure that your presentation is matching what you're kind of trying to thrive for.
Mm-hmm.
So that's off the menu. I didn't see it when I was looking this week.
Okay.
I tried the octopus, which was really good.
Yeah.
The romesco sauce on there was...
I like octopus.
I loved it.
I had it in Mexico, and it was really funny because... Again, the portion sizes were not American portion sizes in Mexico, but they, like,
plopped it on the plate. It was like they got it from the sea and then they just like put it on the plate, which was like alarming, but it was in your stomach. When you're in Mexico, your stomach just kind of like,
it's like, what are you doing to me? This is culture.
Yeah. But it was really good. It was good.
Yeah, but I had the octopus and then the people I were with hated it though.
Okay.
So I was so confused. Didn't get it.
I think it is cool that they, with the seafood, and I think, I don't know where I read this, maybe the Gazette or the Oklahoman, but they fly in the seafood like fresh every week.
Good.
So,
because I'm always super cautious about ordering seafood
in here. Also, was at Rich White People Starbucks getting a coffee before I came here, and there's a new restaurant opening called Slapfish.
Okay.
By Hop Dotty, like right next to Hop Dotty.
Like all up in there in that business.
Yes. So I looked it up and it said it's a modern seafood shack.
Okay.
So I think it's franchise, but something new, I guess. Okay. I don't know.
I'm just still so weary of seafood.
And I just, sushi.
Sorry, we don't live anywhere near an ocean. Like something's got to be not that great, but.
Okay. So those are our segments. Thank you guys for listening. Yeah. We're going to get into like the bulk of the episode. We talked a little bit about your foodie, like taking pictures of food. How you said you got interested in it when you were kind of tired of taking photos of people's faces. What was your, like, your first like, oh, I'm going to take pictures of this food or this restaurant?
So back when I was battling whether or not to stay in the food industry as a bartender, manager, or whatever it would have been, I had to start finding a way to be inspired by the photos that I was doing. And I'm trying to think of my very first food shoot. In all honesty, my very first food shoot was in school. We had, this is, which we can talk a little bit about college stuff if we want, but one of the issues I had with my education as a photographic arts major is the 4 years that I was there, we learned the ins and out of fashion photography, portrait and wedding, people, but never product or food. And so I took, in my 4 years, I had one food assignment, not class, assignment. And so then that's when it kind of, I had bought some pie from Pie Junkie.
Okay, great.
Which was, I just bought, they had a discount pie and I was like, yep, I'm taking that and I'll take a s'mores pie. Shout out to Pie Junkie.
Shout out to them.
So I, it was first then when I had just brought some pie, got some backdrops and some powdered sugar and just started stylizing and just tried to emulate what other people were doing and what I'd seen. And that's when it really, it was this moment of not being rushed by the person in front of me that I was taking pictures of or being, having to be on my toes to make sure I'm capturing emotions. I had, it was me and the pie. I was like, so it was that moment when I kind of realized I enjoyed this aspect of photography way more. And in all honesty, my first like food gig was with Cultivar.
Okay.
Which I still do some stuff. So, and then from there, and then I was at Whiskey Cake bartending full time. And I had talked to my bar manager, Rob Lindsay, which is a fantastic man.
Shout out to him.
Yes, please.
And
he gave me this opportunity. He asked, like, what are your goals? What do you want to do? And I was like, I want to do food and restaurant and cocktail photography. And he gave me that outlet while I was still working at Whiskey Cake, gave me tasks and projects to, like, hey, start doing inventory of our bar or of our bourbon behind the back bar and create like a training manual so that we have pictures along with like information about this bourbon. So that's kind of what started it. And then Whiskey Cake is really the main people who have given me the outlet that I had.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it was and it was really nice to work in a restaurant, which we'll probably segue into talking about Whiskey Cake. I'm a big pusher for them because it was an instance where I was working in a restaurant and I was just a server and bartender, but they knew that I had other aspirations and knew that I had other passions about things and gave me outlets to start doing that. Whether it was just taking, it started out as just taking pictures every Monday of the feature cocktail of the week. So it was just giving me these opportunities to be in front of product and challenging myself.
See, that's really cool because we did like a marketing talk. It was with Big Wing and we had Kellen And Annie Tucker and Stephen Clint, and I think that was it. But I was like just moderating it, and that's what Kellen said. He was like, if you see, you know, you own a restaurant, you want to get better at marketing, you see someone that is working in the back or working, you know, at the bar or a server that is interested in that, pay them a little bit extra and then let them go crazy. Like, that's where you're going to get the best genuine content. And it's really cool to hear that, like, Whiskey Cake did that for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was really nice because they trusted me because they knew I was passionate for the brand and I was passionate for the restaurant, because not only was I caring about their well-being, it was my well-being too. Mm-hmm. I make money off of it.
Yeah.
Serving tables and making sure people
are coming in.
And that's the thing. Like, Whiskey Cake has had to jump over this big hurdle in Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. I think
and my youngest daughter, her mom is Muslim. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't eat pork.
Okay.
And there was a burger she ordered. She just asked for no bacon on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, because I think she had her hijab on at the time, I feel like they piled the bacon on there just because. I really feel like that.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I'm going to say something. You know, like, they can look at you and tell you don't eat pork. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And like, I felt like they gave you extra bacon. You know what I mean? Like, she's like, don't worry about it. But just stuff like that, man. Yeah. Like, man, just do it right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just do it. People are paying for the food. Just do it right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Okay. So I have some listener questions. I think we're going to wrap it up with this. Steez, what is her name?
Dez.
Yeah. She sent a lot of questions. I have a question from Judy. Is there a favorite song that you like that's about food?
That's a good question. Yes.
Okay.
The Fat Boys, All You Can Eat.
Okay, I don't think I've heard that one. I'll have to listen to it.
It's called All You Can Eat.
I'll put a clip of the song at the end of the episode.
Fat Boys, All You Can Eat.
Okay, yes. Perfect.
That should be your theme song for this.
Okay, yeah,
I'll do it.
So this is from Dez. When is the last time you had a honey bun and a Coca-Cola Classic?
Man, I haven't had Coke in probably 2 years.
Okay, so have you given up Coke?
Yeah, so I lost 65 pounds as a thing. That's pretty much that.
Okay,
so,
awesome.
I started like late 2015.
Okay.
So I haven't had a Coke probably since 2015.
Okay.
Probably a honey bun since then. So when I was recording Black Futures, when I stopped, so that was probably late 2015. And I used to sit in the studio with, you know, honey buns and Cokes and all that. That's all I could work, you know, but I had to give it up. So probably since then.
What made you want to lose weight?
I just wasn't comfortable. I just didn't feel good, and you know, people were talking about me like literally, like there was a message board and people were calling me fat and saying
you
could squeeze gravy out of my nipples and stuff like that. Like, God. my homies were going in on me. It's all my homies, you know.
Yeah.
But I was out of town at the time. Like, I was gone for like 2 months, and so I was like, okay, I got something for y'all.
Yeah.
You know? And that's when I started.
Yeah.
You know? And you know, it's definitely been a journey. And you know, I can, like, now I'm to the point to where I know how to maintain it. So
experiment, you know, if you like a certain type of wine, go to your local wine shop, say, hey, I like this.
They love helping.
Yeah.
Every place I've, except for, I'll tell you later.
Except for that one place. But yeah, I mean, you know, I started drinking crappy sweet Riesling whenever I was, young and your palate changes.
Yeah.
And it's just like with food, your palate will change and it will diversify. Mm-hmm. And I just say, if you're buying $10 bottles right now, step it up to $12 to $15 or go to $15 to $18 bottles of wine. You can buy so many great bottles of wine under $20.
Yeah.
And it's not, you know, you don't have to just do the Barefoot or the Boda Box. But I love Boda Box also because I am on a budget. I'm a millennial on a budget. So
we're all on a budget.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we're all doing all of our multiple jobs and everything.
Yeah. And like side hustles and whatever.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So send me a list later and I'll put it on the website of best wines you think under $20.
Love it. We'll do it. Yeah.
And then I'll put it along with the episode and it'll be a blog post. So And so everybody can go on and kind of just see, and then maybe where you can purchase it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I don't know if we talked about canned wine. It's just a little bit more accessible.
Yes.
So I think that as millennials, like, I love packaging.
Yes.
And I think that, I know, I just love a can of wine.
Yeah.
Because a bottle for me, I'm not going to drink the whole bottle unless it's like a hard day.
Right.
You know, and I don't want it to go bad either.
Right.
So I don't know the rules on like wine going bad. It's like 5 days or something like that.
It depends on if it's red or white. It depends on how much is left in the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Because the more air that you have in the bottle,
mm-hmm.
if you have like a glass of wine left, I'd say 1 or 2 days.
Yeah.
And it's just because of the oxidation. Like you think about like slicing an apple in half.
It turns, brown.
And it's essentially like that.
So a can of wine is generally 2 glasses. I did buy some, I'm trying like the champagnes and the wine that are just one serving. So
okay.
The Sophia something and then the Frizzanti.
The Scarpetta, yeah. Frico. Yeah.
So I bought those. Those are just one serving, but mm-hmm. for the most part, it's 2 servings in a can. And I think it's a good deal. I am a proponent for it. I really like the Underwood series. The Riesling Radler and the strawberry.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the strawberry was really good. I don't really care for the Riesling Radler. I put that in the blog post.
Yeah.
But, and they were like, thanks for your input. But I'm like, it's got hops in it. So to me, it tastes like beer.
Yeah.
So
I think, I mean, and I like it as kind of like.
It's so pretty, though.
It's so pretty. And I really enjoy it as kind of like a casual drink. It's super refreshing. Mm-hmm. Like to me, like, and of course, everybody's palate is different. But I think it's super refreshing. And it is almost like a wine beer just because of those hops.
Yeah.
I
really like the bubbles from Underwood and
yes.
the rosé bubbles. The rosé bubbles I had been looking for forever. P.S. They're at, they were at Grand Cru. They're not there anymore, but they are at Broadway on Broadway Wine Merchants.
Yes.
And that's the place that has the really cool upstairs that you can rent out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they do like wine tastings there, I think, sometimes.
Okay.
I know for whatever reason, one time I helped decorate for a Halloween party.
That sounds so fun.
Yeah, it was like a wine tasting Halloween party.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. Yeah, I love Broadway Wine Merch.
Yeah, they're awesome.
And David there is really sweet.
Okay, well, I think we covered everything.
Yeah.
Is there anything you want to recommend, like when it comes to canned wine?
I would just say, I think a lot of people, there's kind of like a pushback. They're like, wine in a can, like, mm-hmm. how is it different? And
yeah.
it's really just like, you drink, I mean, not everybody, but some people drink craft wine out of a can.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same theory. You mm-hmm. know, it doesn't matter. You know, there are marketing companies who will put wine in a can because they love to design wine cans. And then there
are 360 kind of.
Right.
Yeah.
But then there are winemakers who decide that they want to put really great wine into a can. And, mm-hmm. you know, just try it. You know, if you don't like it, you don't have to drink out of a can. I do sometimes. You know, it's super accessible. I love taking them camping.
Yeah.
I love taking them to the pool, to mm-hmm. the lake.
That's the best. The pool is the best.
Yeah, you just grab one, throw it in your purse.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously.
I tried taking him to the movies last night, and my boyfriend was like, no. He's very strict about the movies.
I know, people who have done that, for sure. And I'm like, do it.
Go for it. Why not? We took a bunch of gummy bears in. Like, it's fine. Oh, man. Well, thank you for coming on. People can follow you on Twitter. You're like, super active on Twitter. It's at Maddie Gregg underscore.
Yes.
And she has a wine emoji next to it.
I pretty much just talk about my awkward self. I'm like, oh, I did this stupid, weird thing. I'm so insecure. But people on Twitter might appreciate it because we're all weird.
We are all weird on Twitter. Also, follow Thirst Wine because you're the one that runs all the social media accounts. So follow him, and then she can be like, look, boss, I got all these new follows. So follow them. Next time you're at the liquor store, look for one of the, what are they called?
Shelf talkers.
And Maddie designed that. So, as always, you can follow me at OKC Over Easy, OKCOverEasy.com, and then on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all the things. I usually mostly hang out on Instagram, but I've been getting back into Twitter a little bit lately because I was like, should I keep the caps? And everyone's like, yes, keep the caps. I was like, okay, great. And we will see you guys next week. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
No problem. Bye.
Bye.